Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Hi, church. It is great to be with you today. And it's a strange thing. I do find it strange to be in front of a camera rather than having people in church. And I'm still getting used to it, so bear with me today as I work through that. And, you know, I can still see some of these faces in front of me on the chairs, and so that is a great thing. That warms my heart and makes it a good thing. So it's great to be with you today. Let's pray before we start the message today. Father, we just give you thanks for your word, the power of it, the life-changing power. Pray that today, as I bring your word, that it is your word. It's not my words, but it's your words. And so, Father, let your spirit, let your anointing be upon these words. And Father, you speak to who you will. And we just give you thanks for these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is our third message in our series, Fruitful. 2 weeks ago, Andy spoke on the subject, fruit bearers. What a great message. And that we are encouraged to bear much fruit. Nick last week spoke again, got a great message on one of the fruit of the Spirit, and that would be peace. And the impact it has on us when we allow God's peace to rule in our hearts. Today we're going to look at another one of the fruit of the Spirit. So if we read together Galatians 5, 22 to 23, now you can follow on the screen or you can have your actual Bibles in front of you, or you might have a phone that you have an app on, and so you can follow this in the translation you have, but we're reading from the New Living Translation with this particular scripture. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, before we go any further, it is just so important to point out the start of the scripture. And it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. So it's the Holy Spirit in relationship with God the Father, because of what Jesus did for me, for you, for us, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not because we were good at these things, although some people might be good at these things, or because of our upbringing, but your upbringing might have shown some of these things, or because of a good education, or because we are gifted, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. These are the fruit of the Spirit. In Nick's message last week, she spoke about the bookends in this scripture: love at one end and self-control at the other. And today we're going to look at another one of those a bookend, and it'll be the first one, which is love. And so I brought with me a couple of little props, and so if I can bring them into your picture. Here's a bowl of fruit. And so as we can see with the fruit of the Spirit, there are different fruit. And so as we can see with this bowl, there are different. And so, you know, when you look at the fruit of the Spirit and you look at things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Now, you might look at one of those things and, you know, if you're someone, say, Pastor Nick, you know, you might look, she might have patience and go, well, that's not a fruit that I want to eat, but I'll eat one of joy. And so, you know, you might look at Pastor Graham, might look at it and he might think, oh, well, you know, we look at Pastor Graham's life and think, well, is he gentle? Well, maybe Pastor Graham isn't always that gentle. But And of course, you look at Pastor Andy and you can only think goodness, can't you? Goodness. And so we look at these fruit and, you know, often you go to a fruit bowl and you look at the fruit and you go, well, I don't want a lemon. And for some people, a lemon could be self-control and they just don't want to go anywhere near it. But often when we go to a fruit bowl, we pick the one that we like most. And so we might pick a pear because we like that. I try and have a drink of water and a piece of fruit before I have any other of my breakfast in the morning. And so, you know, that will be water and maybe an apple, but it'll be the one I like the most. And so when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, there is there are different fruit, obviously. And for us, we look at some of this list and we go, well, that one's a bit harder for me. I struggle with self-control. But that is where the power of the Spirit is just so important. And so today, as we look at love, I want to read to you a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, a famous scripture. Now, if you have been possibly following some of the emails that I've sent out, I've done some studies on 1 Corinthians 13 on love. And so today I'm going to pull a little bit of that out on love and how I'll explain to you in a minute more around the fruit. But let's read it together. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. We're reading from the Amplified this time. Verse 4, love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful. It is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag, is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth. When right and truth prevail, love bears all things, regardless of what comes. It believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, and endures all things without weakening. Now, as with the fruit bowl picture, if the fruit of love is an apple, there are different types of apples. And in the scripture in 1 Corinthians, we see love has different aspects to it. It's love, but it varies in how it looks. And so, you know, when you go, once again, you go to the fruit bowl and say you want an apple and it's full of apples. And it'd be the same like when people actually go to the supermarket. And again, Pastor Andy's, you know, well-versed in knowing how much fruit gets handled at a supermarket with his experience over the years. But generally, people don't just go and pick any old ones. They pick the ones that they want. And so you come along and you see this plate of apples or bowl of apples. Well, we couldn't do a bowl because it hit it too much. But we see this plate of apples. And when I go to the fruit bowl, it might be the same for you, but when I go to the fruit bowl, I always look for the best one. And that, you know, the ones with bruises and all that sort of stuff, not going to touch those. I'm going to pick the best one. And it may not be the one on top. And as we think of it in terms of love, and we look at this list of love, what love is and what love isn't, often when people see the fruit of our lives, they will pick the best of it. And often when we even look at a list like this and we think, that would be nice if I was okay at that or good at that, I like that piece of fruit. But often we look at it and go, well, I'm not good at that. So, you know, I don't want to dig into that because I'm not a patient person. Maybe I'm not a kind person. But today, in terms of what I want to look at today, I wanted to pick five of the love is or love isn'ts that maybe aren't the ones that generally stand out as much. And so I didn't want to choose, you know, in terms of the fruit flow, I didn't want to choose any of the ones that were specifically already fruit of the Spirit. So where it says love is patient, love is kind, they're fruit of the Spirit. So I picked five others. And so I just want to talk about those briefly in each one. In an apple bowl picture, they are all apples, and this is with love. But rarely will you just pick the one on top. You will pick one that you think looks best to you. In the list that we see, and we see that in this list that we see some that are very specified in terms of their meaning, and when we look at these, I just want to quickly tell you which ones we're going to do today. So love does not envy. Love is not self-seeking. So love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. And the last one we want to look at today is love always perseveres. So we'll start today with love does not envy. And I want, as we do this, I want you to think on this. When you think love, think relationships. Think friends, think family, think marriage, think work. This fruit helps with all our relationships, no matter what they are, all our relationships. So let's start with love does not envy. In Proverbs 14, verse 30, we see a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. What a powerful scripture. Envy makes the bones rot. Now, when I did this little message that I sent out to everyone, I said this about envy. I said, it's a sleeper that sits below the surface. It's often there and you don't even realise it. Now, in the last couple of years, I've been out doing some general maintenance and, you know, I've repaired different aspects of houses, and I've done a lot of repair on windows, believe it or not. And there's been a number of times where I've had to repair rot in windows, and I don't know whether you've had any experience with rot in timber windows, but often the window looks okay from the front, but you've only got to go along and tap the window, and sometimes you might tap the window, not the actual glass, but the frame around the window, and your finger will almost go right through the painted surface and into some very soft material, and it has rotted. It has rotted away. The frame has rotted away, and so then it needs to be restored. Now, I don't know. There might be things that you're envious of. You might be envious of someone else's car. You know, for someone like Matt Burt. You might be envious of someone else's football team. I'm not sure. One that's in the finals. You might be envious of that if you're Matt Burt. You might be envious of someone else's friendships. You might think that another sibling is a little more equal than you. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed, and I've had some discussions over the last 2 or 3 years with different people who have been dealing with in their family. A parent or a grandparent who has passed away, and there has been fighting in the family over the inheritance. And to me, that's really sad. And often that is because there's envy and jealousy in what's been offered or left to someone else. And like I said, it's a sleeper that sits below the surface. Often these things don't come out for years, and then you can see how it outworks. And there's another scripture which I haven't got up today, and I think it's in James, and it says that where there is envy and jealousy, there is all sorts of strife. And so I just think it's so important. Don't let envy be one of those things that rots the bones. Don't let it be one of those things that over time, slowly but surely rots away. Because it doesn't just happen. You know, we have thoughts of envy and we need to deal with them straight away. And so I would encourage you today, love does not envy. And if you are envious of someone, deal with it. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you with it. Ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen you. Every single one of these things I'm going to talk about today, it is a fruit, part of the fruit of the Spirit of love. And so I'm going to be saying to you, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Please don't forget that. If you have envy, get rid of it. Get rid of envy. The second one I have is love is not self-seeking. Philippians 2 and 3 to 4, so chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, Philippians. And if you're, geez, I'm having fun with getting into people today, and so I'll just continue that theme. If you're Aaron Devensentis, and he did a great job with communion last week. If you're Aaron Devensentis, it's not the book of Philippians, it's the book of Philippians. And I don't know whether it's to do with Olympians or whatever, but he calls it the book of Philippians. So a shout out to you, Aaron, love you, mate. Just couldn't resist that. So the book of Philippians, chapter 2, 3 to 4, it says this: do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Now, on my notes here, I thought, as I did with the little email I sent out, I wrote down levels of selfishness, and I related it to chocolate. And so how that relates to chocolate, I'm not sure, but if you're fasting this month and you're fasting chocolate, I'm sorry about this, but I'm just going to bring it forth anyway. So here would be going from extremely selfish to selfless. Let's just take how selfishness looks. So absolute selfishness is, you know, if there's people around you and you buy a chocolate bar and you don't tell anyone else and you eat it, that would be extremely, extremely selfish. Or the next level down was if you buy a chocolate bar, you buy one that only you like and then offer it around. And then other people might go, well, look, I don't really want any. And you're sort of rubbing your hands together going, well, I get the chocolate bar anyway. Sorry, I bought the one you didn't like. And then we go to another level, which is you buy a chocolate bar. So we're getting less selfish here. You buy a chocolate bar, but you have the biggest piece. Still selfish, but you have the biggest piece. Then we go down another level and you buy a chocolate bar. You know, you're going up in standards now. You buy a chocolate bar and you let someone else go first. But ultimately, when we look at this in the light of chocolate, it would be if you buy a chocolate bar that someone else likes, knowing you don't like it, and you give it to them, not expecting anything in return. You know, selfishness affects all relationships. And the less selfish or more selfless people are, the better chance any relationship has of lasting a long time. We want long-lasting relationships. Love is not centered. When true love outworks, it isn't self-centered. And you know, you might be thinking, well, you know, in light of chocolate, there are some times where I am selfish. Ask God to help you by the power of His Spirit. You might even be someone who has, people have said, well, you're just a selfish person. You don't have to live with that. You can ask God to help you by the power of His Spirit. And you can love others by being selfless. The third one is love keeps no record of wrongs. And this is probably one of my favourites in this list. So let me ask you, who has wronged you that you have kept a record of? You know, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, he didn't say that when he was in the middle of a meal and having a good time. He didn't say that when he was feeding the 5,000. He didn't say that when he was healing someone. He actually said that at probably the hardest part of his life, when he was hanging on a tree, hanging on a cross, dying for you and I. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you might say, well, Chris, you don't understand what they did to me. Maybe I don't. But as Jesus exampled, we are meant to forgive. We are meant to forgive. It is something that he has asked us to do. He asked us to do it. It's the only thing we're asked to do in the Lord's Prayer. You can look at it and you can see it for yourself. Forgive us our trespasses, God, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And through that forgiveness, hopefully, we forget. And you know what? He also said, when asked how many times we should forgive, he said not seven, but 70 times seven. And, you know, there's a story I won't go too much into, but when I was a young man, I remember I was in the car driving along and I was dealing with this attitude towards this guy who'd been extremely rude to me, embarrassing to me. And it had stayed with me it was mounting up to be a number of years. And I remember hearing a message on forgiveness. And one of the aspects was to say forgiving. Whenever his name comes into your mind, keep forgiving. And so I try and live by that principle in my life, is that there are times when people are going to hurt you. And sometimes it might take a long time to eventually have someone, you know, you being able to forgive someone. But sometimes it's immediate, but sometimes it's a process. And so, Father, I forgive them. Lord, I forgive them. And eventually that name that irks you and that person's face that when it comes into your mind you get angry about, eventually, because God says he's going to help us with this, eventually you'll forgive them and you'll be able to move on. So how many times we should forgive? Well, 70 times seven. Doesn't lock them up when we don't forgive them. It locks us up. Yep. So love keeps no record of wrongs. I love this scripture in Psalm 103, 11 to 12. It says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. And verse 12, and it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. God's forgiven us. He's asked us to forgive others. Stop keeping a record of wrongs. Doesn't matter whether it's with a son or a daughter or a wife or a husband, whoever it is. Drop the record. Let the record go. You'll be freer for it, and so will they. So the fourth one, it does not delight in evil but rejoices in the truth. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. The Amplified Version, as we read earlier, it says, it does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth, when right and truth prevail. When there is injustice, you can almost guarantee that the truth somewhere has gone missing. I think I was in about, year seven at school. And I remember we went on a bus trip and we were coming back to school, and as kids do on the bus, they love pressing the buzzer to make the bell ring on the bus. And anyway, that had happened a few times. I thought it was mildly amusing the first time and then started to get grumpy. And anyway, I was sitting there and I think so I was maybe at the back of the bus. That's where normally the trouble happens. And decided that they were going to get someone else in trouble. And anyway, the bell went again, and the teacher said, righto, who did that? because I told you whoever did that was going to get a detention. Of course, they all pointed at me. And I remember sitting in the classroom afterwards, and the teacher was saying, "Why did you do it?" And I said, "Well, I didn't do it." And I was sitting there thinking, this is very unjust. And that's exactly what happens when the truth goes missing. Injustice takes place. And so when we consider that in light of love, truth is everything in our relationships. You know, Jesus said that he came and he died for the truth, that the truth would be revealed. Truth is absolutely paramount in our lives, is paramount in our relationships. In Proverbs 23, verse 23, it says, "Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding." In God's eyes, truth is of paramount value. He says, don't sell it. Don't ever sell it off. Buy truth. Do not sell it. Proverbs 12:19 says, "Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." You know, lies catch up with you. And so, you know, it doesn't matter where it is. A lie is a lie, whether it's little or big. And, you know, there might be families out there, there might be businesses out there who are, you know, unsure of themselves or untrusting because lies have been told. But we can only deal with our personal lives. And you know what? As I said with the other things, the Holy Spirit is here to help each one of us, to help with this sort of stuff. If you've got an issue with lying or dealing with truth properly, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. When truth goes missing, so does trust. And love is put at risk. Let's be wary of that one. Let's be really wary that truth, as it's spoken about in Scripture, that it rejoices, love rejoices with the truth. So the last one, love always perseveres. And I love this. Love, some versions say love endures, always endures. Some versions say love never gives up. Love doesn't give up when it's tough. It doesn't give up when others make mistakes. Love doesn't give up on someone when others do. Can you imagine? We remember Peter, you know, at the time where he denied Jesus three times. Could you imagine if Jesus had given up on Peter? We wouldn't have Acts. We wouldn't have Peter preaching to those people. We wouldn't have what we have if Jesus had given up. So love perseveres through all things. It never gives up. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap if we do not give in, if we do not give up, if we persevere." And I need to stop on that one because as I've been preparing this message and over the last 2 weeks, I'm not sure who's going to be listening today and where you're at. But I had a real sense that there are specifically one or two people and you've decided that you want to give up. Well, God's heard you cry. And he's saying, don't give up. I'm not sure what it is that you've decided to give up on, but I need you to hear this. This is the Holy Spirit speaking a word of knowledge and saying, God is for you. He has heard your cry and he's saying to you, don't give up. Reach out to someone. Reach out to a friend. I can't say it clearly enough. And so it may not be the same situation as us all being church together, but you know what? God can do his stuff. He doesn't need an altar call at the front of the church. He can do his stuff in your home, wherever you are, whether you're listening or watching on a phone or whether you're in front of the TV with the family, I just encourage you, don't give up. Keep persevering. You know, with these five aspects of love, love does not envy. It's not selfish. It keeps no record of wrongs. Does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth, and it always perseveres. There are those five aspects out of the many others, and we haven't got time to go through all those others today. But I just want to repeat what I've said. The Holy Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And God can empower you by His Holy Spirit. In 1 John 2, 5-6, it says, "But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. That is how we know we are living in Him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did." Now, you may look at some of these and say, "But I struggle with this. It's just not me. I can't do it." You know, it's not about reading or hearing it. It's not just about reading it or hearing it and saying, "I must do that," or "I mustn't do this." But it is asking God to help you with it. I'm going to repeat it again. And it is by His power through the Holy Spirit. John 15 verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me," remember, "apart from me he can do nothing." And John 16, 15 says, "All things that the Father has are mine. Because of this, he said that the Spirit will take what is mine and he will reveal it to you." God will reveal to you the things that you need. He will reveal his love, the fruit of love. He will reveal it to you. He will empower you. You know, Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians says, "The Lord said to him, 'My power is made perfect in weakness.'" When it is about how amazing I am and what I can do, it limits God's ability to work. But when it's about how amazing God is and what He can do, it strengthens my ability to see it through. John 15, 5 again, and I want to finish with this scripture. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, he can do nothing." Now there are plenty of aspects of love. Let his Spirit empower you to bear much fruit. And I just want to, before I finish, I just want to pray with you. And there's people out there and you've never understood the power of God's Holy Spirit. And so I want to pray with you today. And if you know, you can kneel in your lounge room, you can do whatever you need to do. You can sit there and pray quietly. But I just encourage you that if you have not been empowered by God's Holy Spirit before or don't understand it, just let God do the work. Just say a prayer and pray this with me. Father, I just thank you for your word today. And I pray for those who have not experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray right now, even as I pray, that they would know your power like they'd never known before. And Father, you know, as we've talked about the fruit of love, Father, I pray that step by step, day by day, you would encourage and empower by your Spirit those who feel like it's a struggle to outwork this and outlive this. But Father, by your example and by your Holy Spirit, I pray that we would all be empowered today to walk out the way that you would have us live. Yes. And so we just give you thanks. And I pray that we would be a people that bear much fruit. Yes. And we give you thanks for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. My name is Jean, and I grew up on a beautiful island in the Caribbean West Indies called St. Lucia. I became a Christian in my early teens and my family and I attended a country Pentecostal church. During that time, I knew it was Communion Sunday, as it was the first Sunday of each month, and the congregation was dressed for the occasion. The men wore white shirts, black pants, black shoes. The girls, the women, wore white from the top of their head down to their shoes. Communion Sunday was also a day of celebration because it was followed by sharing of lunch and spending the entire day together, which led to the evening service. That, for me, was tradition. I never really understood communion outside of what we did on that Sunday. That, for me, was tradition. I never really understood communion outside of what we did on that Sunday. Fast forward many years later, after getting married and moving to the U.S., that tradition changed. No longer I was told to wear white for communion, and I wondered why. I began asking the Lord to show me the real meaning of having the communion, the purpose of sharing the bread or the cracker and the juice. One Sunday, He answered in a way that simply took my breath away. While holding the elements, my heart exploded, and it was in that moment that Jesus revealed to me that it was His love for me that He went to the cross. That love that drew me to Him all these years ago, that love was why I take communion. Tears fell, my heart was overwhelmed, and it was in that moment I fell in love with communion. This wasn't and isn't a tradition. It's a relationship. A relationship I have with the one who gave it all for me. As you hold the bread and the juice, ask the Lord to reveal more of Himself to you. Don't see it as something we do on Sundays, but see it as thankfulness for what He endured for us, the victory we have in Him for every circumstance in life. Because of the cross. I read this quote recently in my devotions. The death of Jesus, the shedding of His blood on the cross, frees us from the penalty that our sinful attitudes, desires, and deeds deserve. Because that debt has been satisfied, those who believe in Jesus are forgiven and become a part of God's kingdom family. John 3:16a, for God so loved the world that He came. With love, thankfulness, and joy in your heart, I invite you to eat the bread and drink the cup. God bless you, church.